Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by the Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. This is Brian Wilkie speaking. It's a delight to join you as one of the new hosts of this program, and we do continue to pray for Reverend Don Crisp, and at this time we have a team of four pastors who will be carrying on the programs on a rotating basis. Good morning, everyone. Today our theme is the certainty of God's promise. Our reading from the Word of God is taken from the second of Paul's letters to the Corinthians. Let me just put this into context for a moment. Paul is apologizing to the Corinthians for a change in plans that kept him from visiting Corinth as they had expected. He is clearly concerned that some of his detractors will insinuate that Paul cannot be trusted to keep his word. In this passage, he reveals that he has tried to be reliable in every way as a servant of a faithful and trustworthy Lord. Here's what Paul wrote. Now, this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, in the holiness and sincerity that are from God. We have done so not according to worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace, for we do not write you anything you cannot read or understand. And I hope that, as you have understood us in part, you will come to understand fully that you can boast of us just as we will boast of you in the day of the Lord Jesus. Because I was confident of this, I planned to visit you first so that you might benefit twice. I planned to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia and then to have you send me on my way to Judea. When I planned this, did I do it lightly? Or did I make my plans in a worldly manner so that in the same breath I say yes, yes, and no, no? But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, he was not a yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken to us by the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us and set his seal of ownership on us and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. That was the reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 12 to 22 in the New International Version. Now, would you listen with me to Glad as they sing, And This Is Love.
And this is love, not that I have first loved you. And this is love, that you have first loved me. And you gave up your life, one perfect sacrifice. This is love, that you have first loved me.
You did not wait for me to make myself unworthy.
In sin I had died, yet your side. And this is love, not that I have first loved you. And this is love, that you have first loved me. And you gave up your life, one perfect sacrifice. And this is love, that you have first loved me.
God is dependable. The whole life of faith depends on His trustworthiness. Jesus' teaching is that our words should always be true. In fact, here in the letter to the Corinthians, Paul echoes the teaching of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, where he insists, "Again, you have heard it said to people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is His footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King, and do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." With God, a yes is yes and a no is no. No oath adds to the certainty of His words, and no lack of oath takes away certainty. God stands by what He speaks. And so should we, according to the teaching of our Lord. We ought to be careful what we speak, for Jesus Himself says that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Moreover, as Paul recognizes in dealing with the Corinthians, a broken promise from the lips of Christ's ambassador has great power to undermine the credibility of the gospel. Credibility is earned by keeping our word, not just by making promises. I often hear husbands admit that they labored under the illusion that they could make a happy home by offering to do the unwelcome chores and by promising to make special improvements for their spouse. Happy is the man who learns quickly that brownie points are earned not by making promises, but by keeping them. In the modern day, haven't we seen many times when a dishonesty or lack of integrity in a minister of the gospel has caused people to look askance at the whole message of the gospel? When any one of us, whether we're in a high place or a low place, gains a reputation as someone who can't be trusted, then our word about the gospel isn't going to be accepted. The Apostle Paul did find himself in the awkward position of disappointing the expectation of the Corinthians, and he wanted to assure them that he makes every effort to come through on his plans. But in doing so, he contrasts his one breach of expectation with the absolute dependability of the Lord. And it's the absolute dependability of the Lord that we're going to explore today. So in a few minutes, we're going to look at how, even in this passage, Paul outlines some of the ways that God has proven Himself dependable and has given us every indication, every reason to believe that we can depend on His faithfulness and His continuing love towards us as we live out our life. But for a moment, let's pause and listen to Jody Cross, a worship leader here in Canada, singing "Lead Me, Lord," from his worship album, Forward to Forever.
Show me this way.
worship you, Jesus. Your faithfulness keeps me. Said not my will, but your will be done. I bow down and worship, worship you, Jesus. Your kindness has shown me this way. I bow down and worship, worship you, Jesus. Your faithfulness keeps me each day. Sinful pride, then by your strength I will live. I want to live to follow your word, then to your praise I will give. I bow down and worship, worship you, Jesus. Your kindness has shown me this way. I bow down and worship, worship you, Jesus. Your faithfulness keeps me. I bow down and worship, worship you, Jesus. Your kindness has shown me this way. I bow down and worship, worship you, Jesus. Your faithfulness keeps me each day. Your faithfulness keeps me each day. Your faithfulness keeps me each day.
Now, as Paul talks about the dependability of God, he has this phrase that says, Jesus Christ is always yes. That is, that Jesus confirms every promise of God. This is such marvelous news, but first let's be sure that we don't make a mistake in reading this. When he says that Jesus Christ has always been yes, it doesn't mean that Jesus says yes to everything. That is, that he answers every prayer with a yes, that he accedes to every request. His yes is concerning the promises that God has given us, the great and many promises that God gave throughout the Old Testament, promises that are confirmed and expanded within the New Testament. When we talk about the promises of God, we have a promise of salvation right from the opening chapters of Genesis. Right when Adam and Eve have fallen, and God tells them about the terrible consequences of their sin and the various changes that are going to occur in the world and in their lives because of sin. But at the end he says about the woman and the serpent, that there will be enmity between the woman and the serpent, and one of her sons will crush the serpent's head, even though the serpent will strike the son's heel. That's been understood in the church and in the Bible to be a message of God's salvation, the way that God will send a Messiah to save us from sin, and that though the serpent strikes the Son and appears to even injure him mortally, the death of Jesus Christ becomes the tool by which God overturns all the works of the devil and destroys evil and death itself. So that is a promise that is made yes in Jesus Christ. It's confirmed and fulfilled in Jesus. God made many other promises, and in fact, reading through the scripture, you find promise after promise. I'd just like to touch on a couple of them. He made a promise to David, the king of Israel, that his descendant would have an everlasting throne. It's no accident that Jesus, the Christ of God, is a descendant of David. He's a fulfillment of that promise that God made. God promised Abraham that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. In the long history of the Hebrew people prior to Christ, there was much blessing within the Hebrew nation. There was much help from God in establishing them in the land of Israel and in keeping them and returning them every time they strayed. But the blessing to the rest of the world, where was that? Very few Gentiles were coming to this faith in the God of Israel. Very few Gentiles were being received as legitimate heirs of the promise of God. But with Christ, the ministry opens up to all the earth. Upon his resurrection and just before his ascension, Jesus gives a great commission to the disciples, who are this time all Jewish converts, all Jewish people who are believers in Christ. And he says, you will go into all the world and make disciples from all nations. And the promise to Abraham becomes a yes in the fullness of Christ. Of course, we have the yes to all the promises made in the book of Isaiah and in the books of the other prophets when they speak about the Messiah, the suffering servant who would carry our sorrows and bear our iniquities. We see in Christ on the cross the fulfillment of that promise, that God himself has taken the burden of our sin, that God himself has taken responsibility to bear the stripes by which we are healed. You'll notice that even the darker promises of Scripture are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Didn't God promise that the wages of sin are death? Didn't he promise that every sin would be punished and ultimately destroyed? Thankfully, God fulfills this promise in Jesus Christ. And when Jesus dies on the cross, that promise is fully completed, and we are spared from the everlasting death that would be our legacy. Instead, by dying with Christ on the cross, we are born to eternal life. God's promises are all yes in Jesus Christ. And Paul speaks about God's faithfulness to us, and I'm going to focus on what guarantees he shows us in just one aspect of God's dealing with us. He deals with us by his Spirit. And in giving us his Spirit, Paul tells us something about the absolute dependability of God's promise. Paul has made a point of showing the lengths God has gone to in order that we might be assured of his faithfulness. He wants the Corinthians and he wants us to be absolutely sure that we can count on God in all circumstances. And he says, because he's given us his Spirit, here are some of the things that are indicated by that. He says that the Spirit signifies that we've been anointed. The word anointed means to be chosen. The word anointed means that God has chosen us to be part of his family. God has chosen us for salvation. Just as he would take, as a prophet would take oil and anoint the head of a king to show that God had chosen this man as king, God has given us his Holy Spirit to show us that we are chosen for salvation, chosen in love. Paul also says that we're strengthened by the Spirit. He says the Spirit makes us stand firm. How often our strength, even our faith, wavers, but the Spirit carries us. Even when we falter, the Spirit doesn't depart. God also seals us. A seal in a jar preserves the contents, and so the Holy Spirit also preserves us. But that's not really what Paul meant by a seal. He meant the kind, he likely had in mind the seal that makes a contract binding, the king's signet pressed into sealing wax to confirm that his authority has been given to fulfill this matter. It's even a seal of ownership, such as on a deed of property declaring, this is mine. It's like a brand, an irreversible mark revealing to which flock you as God's sheep belong. And Paul also says the Spirit is a deposit, an earnest, as the King James Version reads. An earnest, that's a beautiful term. It's the old word for a deposit. And when you went to place an order that had to be brought in from afar, you'd go to the store with a sum of money and you'd put it down to show that you were earnest about desiring the product. We like to use the word deposit today, but I like that word earnest. Do you know that God is earnest in desiring you? And he's given you a spirit as a deposit on his promise to bring you into his kingdom. Isn't it beautiful to think that if the spirit is the deposit, what is the fullness of what he's planning to give us? Paul also says the spirit is a guarantee, and we're very familiar with guarantees. We depend on guarantees when we want to evaluate a product. We want to make sure that it's warranted for a decent length of time. God has given us his spirit as a guarantee of his eternal promise, not for 5 years, not for 10 years, but for eternal life. In so many ways, the Spirit of God is given to us to assure us that God has saved us and he'll keep us to the end. It's a promise that he will complete the work he's begun in us, just as Paul restates it in the letter to the Philippians. It's a promise that God has made to transform us. Now, some people may be a little bit hesitant about being transformed, but if you've accepted Christ as Lord, there's no getting out of holiness. God has put his Spirit in you, and it's the Holy Spirit. God is going to work in you to bring you to holiness. Here's the fact. We can be certain that we have the Spirit, for the Bible teaches that all who receive Christ have received the Spirit of Christ. Do you confess Jesus as Lord? Only the Spirit of God can put that serious confession on your lips. I don't doubt that someone can frivolously repeat those words, but if you have accepted Jesus as Lord, it's the Holy Spirit that has given you that capacity. Do you believe that God has raised his son Jesus from death, confirming that in his sacrifice on the cross the love of God has set aside your guilt? Then you are saved, and the promise of God, the yes of God, and the multiple assurances of the Spirit are yours. Now, there are two applications of this truth. First is the application Paul is making right at this time. Here's the question: how reliable are you? Do you shrug off your mistakes with a careless declaration that I'm only human? Paul doesn't wallow in his guilt, but he makes it clear that his credibility is of great importance. He failed to keep an appointment, and he is worried not about how it will reflect on him finally, but on how it reflects on the preaching of the gospel. We too have to consider this. When we speak without knowledge, when we deviate from our promises, when we allow careless words to fall from our lips, we reduce the credibility of everything we say, so that when we speak of the things of first importance, we're not believed. The second application is one of assurance. I always like a message that reminds me of God's faithfulness, and so I give this to you. If God is faithful, we need never despair. We can persevere against all odds. In prayer, in service, in preaching, and in witness, we can persevere. In forgiving and in seeking forgiveness from God, we can persevere. I was just down to a conference at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, where Stuart Briscoe was preaching. And he spoke a great many things, but he spoke at one point about Christ's victory parade. And he talked about the Roman victory parade in which the captives followed the Lord's chariot, roped together and fastened there. And he talked about how the captives are carried forward by the momentum of the victor's chariot. Now, for a prisoner, that might be degrading, but for you and I, who are being led to freedom and eternal life in God, that's encouraging news. So never give up. God is not going to give up on you. Would you pray with me? Loving God, thank you for your eternal faithfulness. Thank you for your endless grace. Lord, keep us. And as you keep us hopeful. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So thank you very much for your encouragement, prayer, and financial support. You keep us on the air week by week. If you can, please make out a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, in Ontario, K0G 1W0. We will send you a receipt at income tax time. Don't forget to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. And now, to conclude our program, here is the David Crowder Band singing How He Loves Us. May you know Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply in you. And may the Heavenly Father surround you with His constant and abiding love.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how He loves us. Oh, oh, how He loves us. How He loves us. Oh. Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how He loves. Yeah, He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves. And we are His portion, and He is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in His eyes. If His grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. And heaven meets earth like an ultra sink kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about. Oh, oh, how He loves us. How He loves us all.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of New